You're listening to the Evil Orphan Murder Trial of Dima Tower from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Are those the photos in evidence, Ms. Fraebling, that you have?
I beg your pardon?
The photos, do they need to go into evidence?
Yes, they do.
Can we return those to the clerk? All right, defense, cross when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Doctor. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. So we noticed in some of those pictures there was some redness and different coloring. Is that from the pooling from being in the prone position for a long period of time?
There is lividity that was present in those photos. Lividity is the pooling of blood that occurs after death. And it did occur because the bodies were in that position for a period of time.
Okay. So the redness that was seen as like different color skin colors doesn't necessarily denote anything other than the pooling. Is that a fair statement?
It is.
Okay. As the same with if somebody is laying face down after death, there you would expect the same pooling in the face area, correct?
Yes.
And could that make it appear as if there was bruising there?
It could, okay. Yes.
So all of the different areas where we see redness as opposed to the white, that would be indications of pooling, lividity, and where blood is settling, correct?
Almost everywhere. I'm trying to remember if there were any pink or red contusions anywhere in the bodies. There might have been a little bit of red contusion in one of the cases, but I think everywhere that I saw contusion, it was blue, and we talked about that.
Got it. So when we're talking about the different injuries, you say it's not necessarily from different implements just because they look different. If they're bigger, longer, things like that, that doesn't denote anything as far as different implements, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And I would suggest that would you say the vast majority of these injuries you would describe as superficial?
I would describe them at least as not deep enough to be life-threatening.
Sure. And I think the majority of the wounds that you talked about said that they were soft tissue wounds, correct?
That's right.
And those would not be lethal in and of themselves.
Correct.
When you're talking about the cause of death, that is different than the mechanism of death, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes they can be very closely related. Sometimes sure. They're a little more distant, but yes.
So in this instance, you said the cause of death was multiple perforations, correct?
Yes.
In Mr. Tower's case, there were multiple perforations that were caused by stab wounds. That's the cause of death, correct?
Yes.
Would the mechanism of death in that case be essentially lowering the blood pressure to make the heart stop? Would that be kind of the mechanism by which the body would work?
Yes.
Okay. Now, obviously, if there are lots of punctures into the lung cavity, that can create some other issues as far as lack of pressure and lungs not being able to expand. Did you see that in this particular case?
I didn't.
Okay. So essentially, it's the getting of the artery in the neck that is the majority of the problem, correct?
I think those were the most severe of the injuries by far in both cases.
Okay.
But I didn't want to rule out the cumulative effect of blood loss from all injuries, and thus that's why I didn't single those out specifically, but included the other injuries as well.
Okay. And I know that I'm kind of conflating both of them, but it sounds like the cause of death for both of these individuals is essentially the same, the loss of blood from multiple perforations from stab wounds, correct?
Yes.
And that would be a similar mechanism of death as well, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now we're talking about manner of death being homicide. You would agree with me that there's only a finite number of manners of death that you could qualify it as, correct?
There are only five, yes.
Okay, and that would be homicide, correct?
Yes.
Suicide?
Yes.
Natural death?
Correct.
Unknown, meaning you don't know what the manner of death is, correct?
We use undetermined, but determined. More or less the same thing, yes.
And what's the fifth one? You said there were five. What's the fifth one?
Homicide.
We started with homicide.
Okay.
Suicide, correct?
Yes.
That's two.
Natural, undetermined, and accident.
Accident. Thank you so much. All right. So when we're talking about those things, you're not making a determination as far as legally this is what qualifies. That's more of an analysis to determine across the state how many homicides occur, how many suicides occur, things along those lines, correct?
That's right.
All right. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Any redirect?
First of all, Doctor, on cross-examination, there was a question about whether either of the victim has sustained any other injuries aside from the knife wounds. Did Mr. Tower have an injury to his head?
Yes.
Can you tell us what that injury consisted of, please?
So one of the injuries that we described was the lettered injury O, and that had, it was more of a scrape as opposed to a penetrating blade wound. Let me make sure I'm referring to any other minor head injury that I might have described. In addition to to that injury, I believe we saw these in one of the photos, but I can't remember if they were specifically questioned about. There were two small abraded contusions on the head, one to the side of the left eye and one in the region of the chin. They were pretty minor, not necessarily very easy to see.
Yes, I did not question you on those, but I am questioning on now. So in addition to those additional injuries to Mr. Tower's head, I want to ask you this final question. If a defendant admitted to killing his parents, would that be consistent with your finding of homicide?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing else.
The witness free to step down?
He is.
Nothing further. All right, you may step down now.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Folks, in just a moment, we're going to take about a 10 or 15 minute break, okay? So if you can leave your notepads face down, writing implements on top, don't discuss anything related to your jury service during our break, and we'll bring you back shortly, okay? Everybody, please stand. Jurors exiting.
All right, jurors exiting. Your Honor.
Everybody may be seated. Apparently, there's something else we need to cover. Let's have the attorneys come forward. It has to be done now. Okay. You want it done now?
Please.
Okay. All right, folks, there is a stipulation as to the identity of the victim / decedents. Stipulation meaning both the state and the defense have agreed to that, so it is something for you to consider as a fact. I'll sign it. It will go back with you. Let's see, today's the 13th, and I'll read it to you. It is hereby stipulated by and between the parties of this action that the identity of victim / decedent number one in this case is Robert James Tower, white male, date of birth, August 15th, 1974, a human being, and that the jury in the trial of the above listed cause may be advised of this stipulated fact. It is hereby stipulated by and between the parties of this action that the identity of victim slash decedent number two in this case is Jennifer Christine Tower, white female, date of birth February 8, 1972, a human being, and that the jury in the trial of the above listed cause may be advised of this stipulated fact. All right, let's take our 15-minute break. Everybody please stand, jurors exiting. Doctor, here you go.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, State, are you prepared to rest in front of the jury after our break?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Gilman, any motions from the defense?
Your Honor, I think that at this point, taking the evidence in the light most favorable to the State, it's a factual determination as far as premeditation is concerned, so I do not have any legal motions to make at this point.
Yes, I'll find that the evidence presented in the form of the witnesses, the photographs, the physical evidence, the video of the defendant's statements to law enforcement, of the medical examiner, that there is sufficient evidence in a light most favorable to the state for all three of the crimes charged. Two counts of murder in the first degree and fleeing to elude law enforcement with lights and sirens. So I'll deny the motion for judgment of acquittal as to all three counts. This will go to the jury. Mr. Gilman, do you have any evidence that you intend to present during the defense?
Your Honor, I've spoken with Mr. Tower about it. He's indicated his desire to testify.
Okay.
That is against advice of counsel.
Okay. Everybody may be seated, by the way. Any objection to me speaking to Mr. Tower briefly about the legal concept of this? All right, Mr. Tower, can you please raise your right hand, sir? You can remain seated. Do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be the truth?
I swear.
You can put your hand down. Please tell me your name.
Eva James Tower.
Mr. Tower, I'm going to speak to you for just a minute, and I want to make sure you understand that at no time am I asking you to divulge any specific statements between you and Mr. Gilman. Those are protected by the attorney-client privilege. And I'm not asking for any specific conversations that you have. Do you understand? If you think that I am, let Mr. Gilman know or tell me you're unsure of my question, because that's not what I'm intending to ask, okay? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. The state has just rested their case in chief. They will in just a moment when we bring the jurors back in. They're gonna rest on the record. So at this time in the trial, it's the opportunity for the defense, if they wish, to call witnesses and produce evidence. Do you understand that?
I do.
You might recall during the jury selection process, I talked to the jury. I spent a considerable amount of time covering this with them, that the burden in a criminal case is solely on the state of Florida, the state attorney, and that there is no burden on the defense. Do you understand that? In fact, you might recall I read to the jurors that the defense does not have to present any evidence or prove anything. In fact, I gave the jurors the example that you and Mr. Gilman didn't even have to be present during the trial. Do you recall that, Mr. Tower?
I recall.
Do you have any questions about that?
No.
Okay. Mr. Gilman has indicated that he doesn't have any attorneys or evidence to produce at this point, other than perhaps you. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes.
Okay. So now would be the time in the trial, if you wish to testify, that you would take the stand. Do you understand? Now, I also covered this, Mr. Tower, during jury selection. That choice as to whether or not you testify is solely or completely your choice. In other words, Mr. Gilman cannot make that choice for you. In fact, nobody can make that choice for you. Do you understand?
I do.
Mr. Gilman is a very experienced attorney. His job is to counsel you. He can give you his opinion, his advice, talk to you about the evidence that's been presented. But Mr. Gilman cannot make the decision as to whether or not you testify. That's solely your choice. Do you understand?
I do.
If you choose to testify, there would be a jury instruction. In fact, we've already discussed that. You might recall this morning at 9 when we went over our jury instructions, that instruction would tell the jurors that you have become a witness, that they should consider your testimony just like any other witness. For example, there's a jury instruction 3.9 that says, in addition to your common sense, you should consider the following factors when considering the testimony or credibility of a witness. Did the witness have some interest in how the case should be decided? Did the witness say something in court that's different than a statement they had previously made? Was the witness honest and straightforward in answering the attorney's questions? Does the witness's testimony agree or disagree with the other evidence in the case? Has the witness ever been convicted of a felony or a crime of dishonesty? These are just some of the tools that jurors will be using to determine credibility of witnesses, and if you choose to testify, they would use the same tools as it relates to you. Do you understand that, Mr. Tower? Do you have any questions about that?
No.
In fact, if you choose to become a witness, you'll be called just like what we'll do is we'll put, I believe that you have shackles on your ankles. Is that right?
Right now, yes.
All right, so what we would do is, do we have the sergeant here?
Well, Your Honor, we can do the same as we did.
All right, let's call the sergeant down. We'll figure that out. What we would probably do is have you up at the witness stand so the jurors couldn't see that you're shackled. In fact, they wouldn't be able to see that you're shackled. I see that in this courtroom, the jurors are in front of the witness stand. You would be sworn in by the clerk, just like every other witness. Mr. Gilman would have an opportunity to ask questions first. Your attorney, they would have to be open-ended questions. When Mr. Gilman is finished, the state attorney, one of the two prosecutors, would come up and they'd be able to ask you leading questions. We refer to that as a cross-examination. When the state is completed, Mr. Gilman would have another opportunity to come back. That's called a redirect. And that's what's happened with almost every witness so far. The same would apply to you. Do you understand that, Mr. Tower? Do you have any questions about the procedure or how your testimony would be treated the same as any other witness? State, are there any prior felonies or crimes of dishonesty?
There are
not. Okay. Do you have any questions about any of the laws that apply if you choose to become a witness?
I do not.
If you choose not to become a witness, that's a constitutional right you have. You might recall I spent a considerable time Monday, Mr. Tower, talking to the jurors about that. I explained to them there's many reasons why one might choose not to testify, public speaking being fear number one, death two. And I explained to them that it can't matter, that if you chose not to testify, that's something that the jurors could not take into consideration. In fact, the jury instruction would say that. It would say that Mr. Tower has chosen not to become a witness. You cannot consider that decision as any consciousness of guilt. In fact, the jury will be told they can't consider that in any manner whatsoever. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about the laws that would apply if you choose not to become a witness?
No.
Have you had an opportunity, not what you said, but have you had an opportunity to talk to your lawyer and ask him questions before you reach your decision as to whether or not you will testify?
I have.
Do you need any additional time, Mr. Tower, to talk to your attorney before you tell me what your decision is?
No.
Okay. And have you reached a decision?
Yes.
And what is your decision?
I want to testify.
Okay. Has anybody pressured you or forced you in order to get you to testify?
No.
Are you doing this freely and voluntarily?
Yes.
Do you have a clear mind as you're entering into your decision today?
Yes.
Are you taking any medication right now while you're at the jail?
No.
Do you have any questions of the court, anything related to the laws surrounding your decision?
No.
Or your testimony?
No.
Okay. I'll find that the defendant has made a freely and voluntarily and knowing decision to become a witness in the case. So let's take a 10-minute break. What we'll do, any objection, Mr. Gilman, state to having Mr. Tower on the stand when the jurors come back in, you can call him?
No, Your Honor.
No objection.
Okay. And then, so Mr. Tower, what we'll do is, when we come back from a break, we're gonna have you on the stand. Again, the purpose is so that they don't see the shackles on your feet, okay? And we'll have you standing in when the jurors come in front of the chair so the jurors can't see it. What will happen is I'll have everybody seated. The state will rest on the record in front of the jury. I'll then turn to Mr. Gilman, your lawyer. He's going to call you as a witness. At that time, I'm going to ask you to stand from your chair. Do so carefully not to make noise with the shackles, okay? You'll stand at that moment, face the clerk. Our clerk, Emily, is going to swear you in. She'll ask you to raise your right hand. You'll be sworn in. You'll have a seat. When your testimony is completed, give me a moment. I'm not going to have you walk back down to your table. Again, we don't want them to know you're in custody and that you're shackled. We'll take a break as soon as your testimony is done. I'll send the jurors out and we'll return you to the table, okay? Unless, yes, let's do it that way, because then we'll find out if the state has rebuttal, et cetera, okay? Let's take a 10-minute break. We'll come back with the testimony of the defendant. We'll have him on the stand. State, make sure you please call any and all witnesses. I want to finish the evidence portion of the trial today, okay?
Yes.
All right, 10-minute break. 2:50, we'll start at 3 with the defendant on the stand. Whipple, have you sent the updated jury instructions to Jennifer?
I will send that right now.
It's a plan. And you can make the changes now, removing defendant not testifying and including that paragraph, defendant becoming a witness. All right, let's practice, Mr. Tower. Practice getting up once you fix the chair.
One down there.
Practice getting up without making noise with your feet. Okay.
So right now, when you start talking, just pull it closer to you.
Okay. You got it?
Yes.
Okay. Both sides ready to proceed?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's bring the jurors in. So, Ms. Frablich, you're going to rest on the record. I'll turn to Mr. Gilman, and you can call your client, Mr. Tower, as a witness. Let's bring the jurors in. All right, everybody may be seated. All right, state.
Your Honor, the state is resting its case in chief.
All right, the state has rested their case in chief, so I'll turn to the defense, Mr. Gilman.
Defense calls Dima Tower.
All right, Mr. Tower, can you please stand and face the clerk? Madam Clerk, can you swear in the witness?
So
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
You may be seated. Mr. Gilman, when you're ready.
Can you just move up a little closer and make sure you're talking in the microphone there, okay? Can you please tell us your name?
Dima James Tower.
And Mr. Tower, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, and I noticed you have an accent. Where were you born?
I was born in Ukraine.
What part of Ukraine?
In the far east part, Luhansk. Okay. That is borders with Russia.
And when did you come to live in the United States?
I came in 2015.
So you were living in Ukraine in February of 2014 when there was an incursion into Crimea? I use a lot of big words there. I'm sorry. Were you living in Ukraine in February of 2014?
Yes.
Okay. And where were you living when you were in Ukraine before you came to the United States? Where were you living?
Well,
like what type of house?
Before the orphanage?
No, I was talking about the orphanage. Tell me about that. What type of place was that?
Should I talk about my life before the orphanage? Or?
Sure. How did you end up getting to an orphanage?
I'll allow brief background, very, very brief. So let's not spend too much time.
Okay? Sure. And Your Honor, actually, if we could approach briefly.
You may.
How old were you when your mother passed away?
Well, my mother passed away. You know, I would like to talk about, before I would start about talking about my life before my mother passed away.
I understand that.
You know,
the issue that is that I'm hoping that you can respond to the questions.
Yeah, I can respond to the questions,
sure.
But.
Okay, so your mother, how old were you when your mother passed away?
I'm somewhere between 6, 7, or 8.
Okay.
I was thinking about this somewhere between those years.
Okay.
Maybe I can give a little bit of my personal background or something.
Mr. Tower, the way it's going to work the same with all witnesses. You need to listen to the question and then answer only the question that's been asked of you, okay?
Well, it's important that...
It may be important, but you need to follow the rules in a courtroom, okay? Please ask your next question.
Sure. Were you just living only with your mom when she passed?
Yes.
Okay.
I was.
And then who did you go to live with after that?
I went to live with my brother.
Okay. How long did that last for?
Maybe a couple months, so.
Okay. And then where did you go?
I went to my uncle's house.
Okay, how long did that last for?
A couple months.
And you eventually end up in the foster care system in Ukraine, correct?
Objection, leading.
Yeah, I was in two foster care orphanages, whatever they call that. The first one I was in before the war, and then
objection,
I was...
Responsive.
Overrule. I think he's trying to give a time frame of when he was in the orphanage. You can answer the question.
I was in the first orphanage in that same region I was born in, the same side of Ukraine. And then when the war started, we were moved to another part of Ukraine, which is somewhere close to the sea.
Okay. And was it around that time that you met the Towers, that they came over to meet you?
Yes, I met them. At I believe it was end of summer of 2013. I met him. Well, I actually met him over here after I was sent to visit for a month in the States. I flew in and met him at the airport.
Was that the first time that you had met them?
It was for the first time, yes.
Okay. And how long after that do you come to this country?
Well, I also came for the second visit. that summer of 2014, I came for the second visit to meet the rest of the family. Okay.
And then you come to live permanently when? In 2015?
Well, I was adopted right before the 2015. I was adopted that winter, and I came to live here 2015. Yes.
Okay. Did you go to school here in Sarasota County?
The questions that you're asking me are very complicated. But and cannot be simply answered, but I'm forced to simply answer the questions, which cannot, for no right reason, can be answered simply. These are not simple questions.
Okay.
Your Honor, I object to the editorializing by this witness. Other witnesses are not allowed to have this kind of conversation with counsel.
Right, let's try not to have speaking objections, Counselor. I'll sustain the objection as non-responsive. Please move on, Mr. Gilman.
Do you remember talking to law enforcement in this case and telling them that you went to Northport High School for a little while?
Yeah, I went to... Right after I was adopted, I went to the school in Northport, Woodland Middle School. And then after I did a half a year in that, I enrolled in Northport High School.
Okay.
Which I dropped out of in 10th grade.
Okay. And did you know any English before you came to the United States?
No.
How did you learn English?
By conversating here and there, small talk.
All right. And how long did you live with the Towers prior to, you know, either graduating high school or moving out?
Again, this is a complicated question, and
objection to narrative.
The answer, it can be very long because I moved in, I moved out.
Objection to narrative.
I'm going to sustain the objection as non-responsive.
Okay. You said you dropped out in after 10th grade. Did you move out after that?
No. No, I stayed, but I didn't really move out on my own. It was just too many family issues.
Okay. And you were not living with them. When did you move back in with them prior to August the 31st of 2023?
I don't understand the question.
So in August of 2023, which is the incident that we're talking about, how long prior to that were you back living with the house? Because I know you had just moved back there, correct?
Well, yeah, I assumed that
do you need a moment, Mr. Tower?
Ask. All right.
Remember the jurors, let's take a break. Leave your notepads face down, writing your phone numbers on top. Please don't discuss anything related to your jurors. Everybody stand, jurors exiting. All right, Mr. Gilman, why don't you spend a moment with your client? We can't tolerate this kind of behavior here in the courtroom. We've already spoken to your client about it. So let's take a 5-minute break. Let's let the defense have an opportunity to talk to the defendant to see if he can go forward on the stand. Mr. Tower, are you okay and able to continue?
Yes.
Okay.
You understand why we took the break, right? I can't have that that kind of show of emotion in front of a jury to, and that applies to you and every other witness. You might recall I even said that about the folks in the audience. Do you recall that, Mr. Tower?
I do.
Okay, are you able to move forward in that?
I am. Position?
Okay. Also, Mr. Tower, the way a jury trial works is the attorneys, their job is to ask questions, and your role as a witness is to answer the questions that are asked of you. You understand?
I understand.
Okay. Mr. Gilman, anything we have to discuss before we move forward?
No, Your Honor.
You had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Tower about the procedure and how we'll move forward?
I did.
All right. Anything else to discuss with the state?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Both sides ready to bring the jurors back in?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Let's bring the jury back in, please. All right, everybody may be seated. Welcome back, members of the jury. Mr. Gilman, when you're ready, please continue.
All right. And Mr. Tower, I want to focus you on when you sat down and talked with the police down there in Venice. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay. Was that the first time that you had ever had that kind of encounter with police?
Yes.
How'd that make you feel?
Objection.
Awkward. Made me feel awkward.
Hold on.
I'll overrule the objection.
Okay, why would you say it makes you feel awkward?
Because I'm uncomfortable talking, because I had many miscommunication and or not enough communication or misunderstanding with my adoptive parents, so I grew up into not knowing how to talk.
Objection,
non-response. Okay. Overruled. It was completing the answer. You may continue, Mr. Gilman.
So when you were talking with the police, did you understand everything that they were asking you?
I did.
Did you feel like you answered appropriately, given that you were uncomfortable?
No.
Okay. Do you remember talking with them about multiple times having thoughts of killing your parents?
Yeah, I only had those thoughts a couple times.
Okay. Did you ever have a plan in place to make that happen?
No, I did not.
I don't think I have anything further, Judge.
State cross-examination when you're ready.
Are you going to look me in the eye, Mr. Tower? Guess not. So you said you didn't think about killing your parents.
I did not plan on it.
Mr. Tower.
It was not premeditated.
Mr. Tower, when I ask you a question, you can answer, but not until then. You pulled out a sharp knife and you walked into your parents' bedroom, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. What were you thinking about between the time you took that sharp knife, walked into your parents' bedroom, and started to stab your father in the dark?
I wasn't thinking anything.
You weren't thinking anything.
What is there to think?
I don't know. Your parents were sound asleep, weren't they?
I don't know.
Was your father awake when you started to stab him?
It was pitch black.
You picked up a knife from the kitchen and you cowardly went into your...
argumentative.
Were your parents awake?
I don't know if they were awake. I already answered it.
Sustained.
She asked me a second time.
What did you say?
You asked me a second time the same question.
What did your father say after you stabbed him?
What the hell are you doing?
And then what happened? Did you stab him again?
Yes.
Okay, what were you thinking about between the first stab and the second stab?
There's nothing to think.
Nothing to think?
What am I supposed to think then?
Listen to me. There was nothing to think. That's your answer. All right. So you're telling me that as a human being, you walk into your father's bedroom with your mother sleeping next to him. The parents that brought you over here.
Objection, argumentative, compound question.
These people were not my parents.
Hold on. I'm going to overrule the objection. It's a bit compoundish, but I'm going to allow it. You may continue with your question.
Thank you. The parents that brought you over here to this country, and you weren't thinking anything.
These people were not my parents. There's a lot went on that changed our relationship.
That's not my question. My question is, are you telling this jury that you won't even look in the eye that the people who brought you over here and gave you a home, that you were stabbing them and you didn't think anything of it? Is that what you're saying?
The answer is too complicated for you.
No, it's not a complicated answer. It's a yes or it's a no.
It's not. It's a complicated answer.
You told the detectives that you were a nobody from nowhere, didn't you?
When I was talking to detectives, I was not in my completely right set of mind.
Mr. Tower, did you tell the detectives that you were a nobody from nowhere?
I just answered your question.
No, you didn't.
I said I was not in my right state of mind when I was talking to detectives. I just went on a lot,
well,
you know.
Let the jury recall what they did.
Objection, argumentative.
I was under the influence of alcohol also.
Okay. I'll sustain that it's unresponsive. He's not answering your question.
Thank you. Your parents?
They were not my parents, unfortunately.
Sir? You cannot interrupt the attorney. Wait for them to finish their question, and then you can answer the question asked of you, okay? Please ask your question.
Mr. Tower, the people that brought you over here, they gave you an opportunity to be a somebody from somewhere, didn't they?
It depends on their parenting.
What?
It depends on their parenting, how you raise your children.
What?
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
No,
have you ever been a mother of children?
After you stabbed your father to death, you walked outside with a knife in your hand because Jennifer was outdoors, wasn't she?
I was temporarily insane.
Sir, can you please sit back from the microphone? It's difficult to hear you. Thank you.
All right. When you walked out of the house after you killed your father, did you carry the knife with you to lead Jennifer back in?
I did.
You did or did not? I can't understand.
I said I did.
You did. You took the knife with you to go out and find the person that adopted you.
Yes, I was temporarily insane, as I said.
Temporarily insane?
Yes.
Members of the jury, I'm going to ask that you strike that last response. There is no insanity defense. There is no evidence presented in this trial to insanity. So I will order that you not receive that answer. It's irrelevant, not permissible during this trial. Okay? Please ask your next question.
Thank you. Were you thinking about killing your mother when you went outside with the knife and led her back in?
What do you mean by thinking?
Did your parents buy you a car?
Objection outside the scope.
Overruled.
What does it have to do with this?
Did your parents buy you a car? Answer my question.
Well, I know where your question is. I know.
Answer
I don't
my
understand.
Question,
I don't
Mr.
understand
Tower.
Your question. I don't understand it.
Did your parents buy you a car?
I don't understand this question.
Did your parents get you a bank card?
Yes, and I don't understand it. What's the point of this question?
Did your parents get you a bank card?
So?
Did you have a TV in your room?
No. What's the point of these questions?
You told the detectives that you were thinking about killing your parents for the last several days. Isn't that true?
That is not true.
Were you in the courtroom when your recording was played? Mr. Tower?
I was.
Were you listening?
I was listening.
And did you hear that you were telling the detectives that you were thinking about that for more than a day?
Again.
You don't remember that?
Again. I did not know what I was saying. Also, I only thought this a couple of times. This was not a constant thought in my head.
Okay, so you thought about it at least a couple times before you did it?
No, I thought it one time, and the second time I thought I did it. There was no thinking about it.
You thought about it the first time, and then you put it off. Then you thought about it the second time, and then you went and did it? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So when you thought about it the first time, where were you?
Probably in the car somewhere.
Where in the car? Parked in front of your house?
Possibly. Very possibly.
Very possibly?
Well, I don't remember. You asked me a question that happened a long time ago. I don't remember.
Okay. Why did you ask your mother to go back inside the house?
Brought her off the street. I don't know.
Because you wanted to kill her, didn't you? Did you hear the doctor talk about how many times you stabbed your mother, Jennifer Towers, the person that you say is not your mother? How many times did you stab her?
You're talking to someone who has no understanding.
You don't understand that question?
No, you don't understand what you're saying.
How many times did you stab your mother?
I didn't know.
More than once?
Yeah, more than once. I don't know how many times.
More than twice?
You seen it how many times? So we were all in here. You seen it?
Because these members of the jury have a right to hear what you have to say.
Objection, Your Honor.
They don't hear what I say because I'm not allowed to say.
Let's not have an argument between you and the witness. Okay, let's ask your next question, please.
These jurors are not allowed to what I have to say.
Hold on, Mr. Tower. You need to wait until the question is finished. And then answer the question that's asked of you, okay? Please ask your next question.
Thank you. You told the detectives that you stabbed your mother to death, but not until you finished what you had to say to her. What did you have to say to her that night?
There was a lot went on between the three of us.
What did you say to your mother before you stabbed her to death?
I'm answering your question. You're not listening. There was a lot that went on between the three of us. It wasn't just a parents and a child.
So there was a lot that went on among the three of you, correct?
That's what I just said.
Okay.
That I'm being stopped from talking about.
How old were you when you killed Jennifer and Robbie Tower?
21.
You were a grown man, weren't you?
No, I was not. You don't know the definition of a grown man.
At 21 years old, why didn't you just move out if you didn't like the people that you were living with? Why didn't you just move out?
The age has nothing to do with it.
Mr. Tower, why didn't you just move out if you didn't like the people you were living with?
I did move out a long time ago. I came back.
You went to West Virginia, didn't you?
Before West Virginia, I moved out. I just told you there was a lot that went on between the three of us. That the judge and the state won't let me talk.
Mr. Tower, do you believe in free will?
There's no free will. You know, we're all controlled in the states.
Mr. Tower, answer my question. It's a simple question. Do you believe that people have free will?
The answer, the question is not simple. If you look around, this is bigger than us.
When you went to live in West Virginia, how long were you up there?
I lived other places before West Virginia.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked you how long you lived in West Virginia.
Maybe 9 months, 10 months.
And what were you doing up there?
Working.
Who set you up in that place to live in West Virginia?
It was a church that I found. The pastor over there helped me.
You were living with Jennifer's father in West Virginia, weren't you?
That was a long time ago, before I went to West Virginia to live on my own.
Please answer my question.
You're getting the questions mixed up.
Mr. Tower, did you live with Jennifer's father in West Virginia?
That was a long time ago. That was not during the time when I went there by myself.
Why did you go to live in West Virginia when you were living with Jennifer's father?
The time that I did go to West Virginia to live with her father was because...
Because why?
I'm going to answer. Let me think about it. We were having fights in the family and I was going to visit, I was going to see him for
could we
maybe
have
for
a couple, move away
maybe
from
for
the
couple
microphone
months,
so we can hear.
Away from him, please.
Maybe for a couple months I was going to visit him until I went to Job Corps.
Yeah, who set you up in the Job Corps? Jennifer, didn't she?
What is your point?
Did Jennifer set you up in the Job Corps?
No.
Did Jennifer set you up to live with her father in West Virginia?
No. What is the point of your question?
Remember, you're under oath, Mr. Tower. You're
I know
oath
I'm under
to
oath.
Tell the truth.
You're making no point in your questions. You're forgetting there was the father.
You need to wait for a question to be asked of you and then answer the question, please. Please ask your next question.
You made Jennifer and Robbie's life in their home a living hell, didn't you, Mr. Tower?
Again, there was a lot that went on that.
Yes.
Yes, but some adults don't know how to be parents. Yes.
You made their life a little hell.
Yeah, no, I didn't. There's some adults don't know how to be parents. You don't know what you're talking about.
In fact,
I came from a harsh environment.
Many people come from a harsh environment,
yeah, but
and they don't kill
know,
their parents.
You gotta know how to treat those people correctly so they grow up properly.
Yeah. So how do you need to be treated?
I have been treated. It's too late for that. I'm adult now, but you're talking as if you don't know how to be a parent, and you don't know what it takes.
Are you a parent?
No, I'm not a parent, but. You're asking me a.
You made their life a living hell. In fact, your father told you that you were destroying his marriage.
If I
to
made
his wife, isn't it true?
If I made their life a living hell, that's probably had something to do with them.
The two of you are just talking over each other.
No, he is refusing to answer.
You're asking a question. He begins to answer, and then you add to your question. Mr. Tower, when she's speaking, you then begin to answer. And what's happening is none of us are catching the question nor the answer. So let's please follow the procedure that we've done all throughout the trial. Let's please do a question, then we'll do a pause, and then the answer. Mr. Tower, I need you to answer the question and not ad lib and add to it, okay, sir? Please ask your next question, Ms. Fravis.
Did your father tell you that you were disrupting his marriage to Jennifer Tower, his wife?
Jennifer told me that before the adoption, that in the beginning, Rob...
He's not responding.
I'm responding. Rob did not want to adopt at all. And then he wanted to adopt a daughter. And then finally, he agreed to adopt a son. So he didn't really want to adopt to begin with.
Mr. Tower? There was no question related to wanting to adopt other children. The question was calling for a yes or no response.
Well, he didn't really want to adopt me, is what I'm saying.
Mr. Tower, if you can please listen to the question and answer yes or no. Please ask the question again.
Thank you. Did your father tell you that you were destroying his marriage to Jennifer?
I was not destroying his marriage. To Jennifer.
That's not the question, sir. The question was, did your father tell you that? Did your father tell you that, yes or no?
Well, what do you want me to say? He doesn't know how to love his wife. What do you want me to say?
Right. I'll sustain the objection as unresponsive. He's unable to answer. Please don't move on to your next question.
Who paid for your flights in 2013 and 2014?
As stated, at some point, I'm going to cut off all these questions about perhaps benevolent acts. You can go a bit further, but let's start to move on, okay? I'll overrule the objection. You may finish your question.
Yes. Who paid for your flights to the United States in 2013 and 2014?
This question is pointless, but however, the company who provided the... who had something to do with adoption did. And I don't understand what's the point of this question either.
Why did you drop out of high school?
Because I was being brainwashed, as all the rest of the children are.
You dropped out of high school because you were on the verge of getting expelled, weren't you, Mr. Tower?
What expelled? Do you even know what they teach in schools? What are you
Mr.
talking
Tower,
about?
Mr. Tower, answer my question.
I'm answering your question. You don't know what you're saying. These schools today, they don't teach anything the kids should know. And the schools are not for everyone.
Mr. Tower, you dropped out of high school because you were on the verge of getting expelled from high school.
No, I wasn't. I'm telling you that. You ever been to school? You know that schools don't teach kids proper education.
Mr. Tower, stop talking.
I'm talking because you don't know what you're talking about.
All right, let's move on to the next question. His answer was no. Please move on to your next question.
In fact, you were about to get expelled because you were fighting with other children in the school and on the bus, weren't you, Mr. Tower?
No, I wasn't. I just told you what happened.
How old were you when you dropped out of high school?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? How old were you when you were in 10th grade?
I said I don't remember.
When you were sitting out in your car before you went into the house on the night of August 31st, did you decide to kill your parents before you walked in?
Yes.
I don't have anything else. Thank you, Your Honor.
You redirect, Mr. Gilman?
Nothing, Your Honor.
All right, we're going to take a short break, 5-minute break. Please leave your notepads turned over, face down, writing implements on top. Everybody, please stand. Jurors are exiting. Everybody may be seated. Mr. Tower, you can return to your table next to your lawyer, sir. Mr. Gilman, any additional evidence, sir?
No, Your Honor.
All right. State any rebuttal witnesses.
No.
Okay. So what we can do is we can bring the jurors back in. Mr. Gilman, you can rest on the record. Is that right, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, we'll send the jurors home. It's 3:53. We'll have a brief discussion on jury instructions, and then we'll head home for the night. We'll start at 9 o'clock. Does that work for both sides?
Yes, Your Honor.
9 o'clock, I'll read the jury instructions, and then we'll go straight into closings. We'll provide lunch for the jurors so they can begin deliberating right away, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, let's get the jurors in and out. Deputy Carl, can you bring the jurors back in?
Yes, Your Honor. About the reality of the situation. They just care about what happened to these people.
Why is that? I don't write the rules. The judge very loudly trying to focus things.
Well, I'm defending myself pretty much, am I not? Because who else is defending me? That's going to happen in the world.
Yeah. That's what opposing arguments are for.
Because.
And it just got harder.
All right, jurors are.
Back, members of the jury, everybody may be seated. Mr. Gilman.
At this time, the defense rests, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, both the state and the defense have rested their cases. So what your job is done for the day. We're going to do a little bit of work here in the courtroom. We're going to start back up tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Let's start at 9 o'clock. Does that work for all our jurors? Yes. We'll bring you in. I'm going to hand out to you the jury instructions. It's a package of the law that applies to the case. I'm going to read that to you. And then as soon as I'm done reading the law, the attorneys will make their closing arguments. We'll send you in to deliberate with lunch, and we'll await your verdict, okay? So have a nice evening. Again, don't watch any news. Don't read any articles, papers, blogs, anything related to this trial. We need you to come back in the same way that you are today. Leave your writing implements, notepads face down. Make sure you take all your belongings. Have a nice evening. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Everybody, please stand. Jurors exiting.
some people.
Hey, Jen.
Yes.
Did you get an updated email with the jury instructions?
I did.
Can you bring down just one packet for me quickly? Thank you.
Yes.
Folks, let's take another look at the jury instructions before we adjourn. Other than that, anything else we need to talk from the state?
No, Your Honor.
Anything from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Folks in the audience, we're just going to go over the jury instructions now. It's not very exciting, really. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to leave. It'll probably be about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we're going to adjourn for the day. Whipple, you have them up in front of you?
Oh, give me one second.
And did you send those to Mr. Gilman?
I have them in front of me.
You're able to pull them up too?
Okay, I have them in front of me, yes, Your Honor.
Great. I just need them in front of me.
Yeah, that's the easy part. Yeah. I'm going to move on now, but I'll see them.
Absolutely. Just make sure that you need the
No, 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 no. Okay. If you can call and not cancel. Keep it on. Is that what it was? I thought I said you would call and let them know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not cancel.
Correct. All right. I have them in front of me. Can we proceed?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay. Introduction and final instructions. Any objection?
No objection.
Statement of charges. Any objection?
No objection.
And again, these are ones that we really, let's remind ourselves, we already went over these. I'm going to make sure I look to see, based on the additional evidence, we had the FDLE expert, Dr. Vega, and Mr. Tower, who testified. All right, we have introduction to homicide. That's legally accurate. We have count.
No objection.
Count one, first degree murder.
No objection.
Count two. You know, when I was reading the stipulation,
they were swapped.
They were swapped in the stipulation. So I don't know if you want to point that out to the jury or not, but I don't think, obviously, that will be confusing. But in the stipulation, you identified Jennifer Tower as number two and Robbie Terrio as one. But on the on your counts, they're the opposite. Okay?
Yes.
All right, count two, we have murder in the first degree. Those are legally accurate. We have fleeing to elude, law enforcement. Any objection by either side?
No, Your Honor.
All right, lesser included crimes to count one, first degree murder. We have murder in the second degree and manslaughter. Both sides in agreement?
Yes,
sir. Yes, Your Honor.
All right, I mentioned it. I thought it was appropriate to bring it in front of the jury. It was completely improper for the defendant to make the statement that he was insane. There is no defense raised. There was no designation of insanity. I don't know where the defendant got that from. I hope he wasn't doing that in an intention to intentionally mislead the jury. But of course, neither side is permitted to make any argument reference that or any discussion in front of the jury related to that type of defense. Both sides understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, we have murder in the second degree. The lesser included with the count one, victim Jennifer Tower. And then we have manslaughter next, victim Jennifer Tower. Lesser included for count two, murder in the second degree, victim Robbie Tower, and then manslaughter for Robbie Tower. Both sides in agreement?
Yes, Your Honor, no objection.
All right, the state has updated the 3.7 plea of not guilty, reasonable doubt instruction as I requested earlier this morning. Any instruction now? Any objection now?
No, Your Honor.
3.9, weighing the evidence. We agreed to 1 through 5. Do any of the others apply?
No, Your Honor.
No.
All right, the only one I thought maybe would be any statements given in court that might be inconsistent with previous statements, but neither side are requesting that. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. We have the defendant becoming a witness. That's appropriate. Mr. Tower did testify. Any objection to this instruction as it is?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
All right, 3.9B, defendant's statement. Ms. Freiberg, this is why I overruled your objection as to what he was feeling or thinking at the time he gave the statement to law enforcement. I think that's something that jurors are able to consider. So any objection to 3.9B?
No, Your Honor.
No, sir.
3.10, rules for deliberation. That's legally accurate. Cautionary instruction. Single defendant, multiple counts. They took out the information part, which I ordered, and the plural on documents. It's legally accurate now from my perspective. Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
No.
All right, we have the verdict instruction and the verdict form. It has the defendant's name, case number. Count one has A, guilty as charged. B, murder in the second degree, a lesser included. C, manslaughter, lesser included. D, not guilty. Again, guilty, not guilty, or not italicized, not capitalized. There's nothing drawing any attention to any one of these options. They're perfectly aligned. Count two, the same applies for count two. Count three, same thing. Guilty, not italicized. Nothing's in any way uniquely or highlighted in any way. We have no lessors. Both sides agreed as to count three, the fleeing to elude. We have the month and place for the four person to date and sign it. Lastly, submitting case to jury, we discuss as legally accurate. Any objection to the instructions as they currently are?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Yeah, I think they're legally accurate, comprehensive, and appropriate in this case. So I will, I'm gonna make copies for all the jurors. Are you folks able to make your own copies for the evening so you can prepare?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll have a copy on your desk in the morning just so you have exactly the same copy from my stack, but you have a working copy so you can prepare this evening. All right, Mr. Gilman, any renewed motions for judgment of acquittal now that the defense has put on a witness?
No, Your Honor.
All right, I'll deny the renewed motion for, if there was one, I'll find that there is sufficient evidence for the jury to find the defendant guilty as charged based on the evidence presented and even in light of the defendant now taking the stand. Folks, have a nice evening. If you can just be ready to start up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, have a good night.
More of the Evil Orphan murder trial of Dima Tower is coming up. Fresh, subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.